translate it.
So, good morning, everyone.
Now, we're going to have our talk in three parts this morning, but be assured they're all quite short. The three quite short parts. There are three distinct parts to our talk this morning. Now, I wonder if you've ever started something to think, well, that looks all right, and then actually find it's not harder than it can be. There's a particular program, if you watch it, you'll know which one it is, where they often say, how hard can it be? And then they discover it's actually quite difficult. But how many of you can remember the first time you tried to learn to ride a bike? I'm looking at everyone here. Most of us probably learned to ride a bike at some time. If you see somebody riding a bike, that's quite easy. You just got to turn your feet around and just keep going straight up. But the first time you try it, you fall off. It's actually harder than it looks. I can remember once with our family when they were very little, we went to a fair where they had one of these bikes. And have you seen them? Where when you turn the handlebar to the left, the wheel of the front wheel goes to the right. And there was a man there, he said, all you want to do is just ride from here today. He just got on it, rode along, no problem at all. Everyone who tried it, or one of the others who tried it, they fell off after the first couple of bits. It looked easy, but boy, it was hard to do. I just sometimes wonder whether you could ride a proper bike. That's easier. What about skiing? That's easy, isn't it? You just put a stand in these long planks and just go down the hill. You don't have to do anything else, just wave these sticks around. It's easy. It's not easy. You try it and you find, when you first try it, it's actually quite hard. Now, there's a picture here, I think you mentioned it. Turn it on, that's a good thing. Do you know, this time I thought I must get to turn it around the right way. All I haven't done is turn it on. Yes. Now, do you know, I don't know what that is, a picture of? It's a picture of the London Marathon. Okay? Now, that's just running, isn't it? All you've got to do is just run in a straight line. It's quite a long running, but that's all you've got to do, run. But boy, is it hard work. If you try doing that, it's really, really difficult. So sometimes we find that you try something and you find it's a lot more difficult than you first thought. So what you have to do quite often is to count the cost. Now let's just set the scene of what's going on here in our reading. Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem and he's got all his family and all his friends and his disciples around him, walking along the road. There's crowds walking with him, lots of people are talking to, and there are three people in particular who talk to Jesus, and we're going to think about what it is they said to him. Now, one thing, just before we think about what Jesus said to these three people, we need to think about one particular thing, which is that Jesus speaks to individuals. What we mean by that is he speaks to one particular person at one particular time. And what he's doing is teaching that particular person a particular lesson at that particular time. I keep saying the word, but it's really, really important. So you remember, some of you will remember when there was a man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said to him, sell everything you have, give it away to the poor. And does that mean he's saying that exactly the same to all of us? No, it doesn't. It means that it was very important for that man, because Jesus knew that that man, money was everything to him. And if he was going to follow Jesus, he had to give up his money. Now, Jesus is not saying we've got to give everything away, but the principle is about putting Jesus first. So what we have to do is to learn the principles of what it is that Jesus is saying. Now, we've got three disciples here. We're just going to think about the first one just briefly, and then we're going to think about the break, and then we're going to think about the second one and the third one. Now, the first person here is he wants to be a disciple, that is, he wants to be a follower of Jesus. Now, he's what I call a too ready disciple. If you look at the verse, it says, hey, Jesus, I'll follow you, ready to go. He's really excited. He wants to follow Jesus. Yes, I'm going to do this. And sometimes, in the excitement, we can say things that, we can all remember, can't we? Christmas time, presents, excitement, some of the things you say. You just bubble over and you sometimes say things that, gosh, I haven't really thought that through, have I? But that wasn't quite right. I think some of the things that my children used to say, some of your children maybe, or some of you know, or something that you said, because we were all excited about Christmas time at one point. And we often said things, maybe that was a bit silly. But maybe this man was getting a little bit excited. So, I'll follow you wherever you go. Doesn't matter where it is, Jesus. I will follow you wherever you go. But what Jesus said, he talked about foxes having holes. And he said, I haven't got anywhere. I haven't got a home. What's he saying? What's the principle of our what? he's taking this man. Well, really, what he's saying is, if you want to follow me, you've got to understand that there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be hardship. If you want to follow me, you have to count the cost. Okay, remember the marathon? You want to run the marathon? Okay, bear in mind, you've got to understand what's involved. It will involve pain, suffering, and hard work. So, what we learn from this is that there is a cost in following Jesus. But Jesus didn't grab everyone who wanted to be a disciple. He didn't say to this man, yeah, okay, great, you'll follow me wherever you go, right, that's fine, come and join the gang. Come along with me. He said, okay, if you want to follow me, you've got to understand what's involved. You've got to count the cost. Sometimes it's hard work being a Christian. It's school. Maybe some of your friends might think you're a little bit old. Maybe you don't get included in things sometimes. At work, sometimes they think you're a bit strange. Sometimes at home with a family. If you're trying to follow Jesus and other people in your family are not, that can be hard work. It's not easy. There is a cost in following Jesus. But Jesus gives us this challenge. Are you prepared to follow Jesus? And we'll see what Jesus had to say briefly to those other people a little later on. Now, we've learned about the two ready disciples. He was very excited about them wanting to follow Jesus. He promised to follow Jesus wherever he went. But he hadn't counted the cost of what it would take to follow Jesus. So, now we're going to move on to the second man who spoke to Jesus. We're going to call him the putting it off disciple. Now, I need a volunteer, somebody who's going to come and give me a present. Come here, I'll do it. I need to come up first. Right. Here we go. Do you like to come up here and give me a hand? Right, okay. Anyone else like to come up here and give me an opportunity of presence? Come on in, come on. Yep, do that, yep. That'd be really good. Okay, now you'd be nice to come and generous, all the decent of you, so you've got a present for that. So you'd like to come and give me a present. Right, okay.
Go and bury my father.
Now, there is some discussion, some debate about exactly what this man meant, but it probably doesn't mean that his father is actually dead. If his father had died and there was a funeral, in those days, in that country, the funeral was the same day, it was immediately. He wouldn't have been out there walking around the road with Jesus. He'd be back home with his family, sorting out the funeral, sorting out all the arrangements and mourners and everything else. So what he was actually saying was, well, eventually my father dies, then I'll come and follow you, Jesus. Now, his father might have been quite young and perhaps wasn't planning on dying for quite a long time. So, it could have been a very long time. He was putting it off. He said, okay, Jesus, I'll get back to you. Don't worry, I will come back to you, but, you know, just, it could be a little while. It could be years. He was putting it off. Now, he was saying that when the family ties, my tie to my family, that's been broken, that's all right, then I'll come and follow you. I can't commit to following you now because of my family, what my family might say. It could be an indefinite delay. But Jesus is saying to this man, let the dead bury their dead. What he's saying is, even the most strong family ties should not stop you from following me. What we should do is say, oh dear, what would people in my family, what would my brother or my sister going to say? What would my mum and dad say? What might my relatives say? Jesus is saying, it's more important following me than what other people in your family might say. What he's saying is, now is the time to follow Jesus. Jesus said, I come to bring life, and life in all its fullness, a really good, wonderful life. So the sooner we make that decision to follow Jesus, the sooner we can have that great life. Putting it off doesn't make it easier. Putting on right in the center just doesn't make it easier to do it. It makes it harder. The longer we put it off, the harder that can be. So don't delay. Are you prepared to follow Jesus? Right, we've heard about two different types of people here, haven't we? The two ready disciple and the putting it on disciple. Now that we think just about the third person who's going to follow Jesus, the looking back disciple. Now, this is what he says. He says, I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. He wasn't totally committed to following Jesus because he was saying, well, you know, I've just got to go back here. Just hang on. I'll be right back to Jesus, but I've just got to go and do something with my family. Now, I need another volunteer. Right, let's just see if I can put a bit of enough energy to bring this table over here. I really need two people. Who's good at recording? Where's my pen gone? That was very clever, wasn't it? Christy's all over. Who's good at looking coming for a straight line? You didn't come on sound for it.
Come on,
then,
not that scary.
I need two of you, then. Perfect, right? I need one to draw, one to be a lookout. Who's going to be the draw, who's going to be the lookout? You'll be the draw. No, you get to come around here. Now, what I want to do is quite simple. If you come around here, I want to get you muddled up your bed. Your hand is not sorry, back and muddled up. I want to get you muddled up. But you stand over here then. Now, what I want you to do is to draw a line. It's quite simple. From there, from that corner to that corner, alright? Now I'll hold the paper for you, but there is addition. When you do it, while you're doing it, you've got to be looking at your brother here, alright? While you're doing it. Now you've got to watch, make sure that he doesn't take his eyes off you while he does it, right? Okay? So, put the pen in your hand, put the pen up. Now you've got to draw from that corner to that corner, but you've got to be looking at your brother the whole time, alright? Here we go. Fantastic. Right. Okay. Mr. Nichols on the end there. much indeed. Thank you, but thank you. I want to look it up and get to your one year love. Keep looking after my because you never know what you might do one day. Now that we have the two lines here, and you can probably see the first line here, all over the place, doesn't end up in the corner at all. This one beautiful, right from one corner, really straight. It's a very useful word at that time, it's fantastic. Of course, the first time, he was looking back. He wasn't looking at what he was doing, and so he made a little mess of that. But who wouldn't? We all would, wouldn't we? You can't draw straight lines when you're looking backwards, but you can if you're looking forward. So it's possible to do a good straight line while you're looking forwards. This is what Jesus says in verse 62, when the man says, "Let me go back to my family first." He says, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, here's a picture of a man ploughing. Of course, he's watching the way he's going. This is quite an old-fashioned plough pulled by two oxen. But if he was doing this and he was looking over his shoulder the whole time, he wouldn't be able to steer the oxen. It wouldn't be a straight furrow. It would be all over the place. And that would be no good for planting. You've got to have a straight line. So, what Jesus is saying, nothing as momentous as death of a loved one, or as trivial as just a little family get together, must be allowed to get in the way of facing up to the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. So, this man says, "I'll follow you, Jesus, but let me go back." Yet he says, "I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go back." Now, when we say Lord, what we're saying to Jesus is, yes, you can be in control, you can be number one in my life. So you can't say, "I'll follow you, Lord, but let me do it." It doesn't go together. You can't say Lord and but in the same sentence. When God calls us, he calls us forward. He doesn't leave us where we are. He calls us forward, not backwards. And so, no one ever plowed a straight furrow whilst looking back. The man didn't want to follow him. Didn't want to commit himself to following Jesus just yet. He was thinking about doing it sometime in the future. Now Jesus realized that he needed to challenge this man. And he challenged him to say that his commitment must be complete without reservation. He wanted to follow Jesus when his sort of traditional responsibilities had been completed. But Jesus said, "No, the time is now." What Jesus was doing was challenging the man's word, the use of the man who used the word first. He says, "First, let me go back to my family." That's what Jesus was challenging. He was challenging that word first. He wasn't being heartless to say, "Forget all about your family." Jesus is not saying that. He's talking to this individual, remember what we learned about earlier. Jesus talks to individuals. The lesson is about the word first. Who are we going to put first in our lives? We have our family responsibilities, and we have our responsibilities to mum and dad, to brothers and sisters, to spouses, to sisters, brothers, elderly parents. Those responsibilities are very important, but it's about who comes first in our lives. So we've learned that there's a cost in following Jesus. We've learned that now is the time to follow Jesus. And we need Jesus to be first in our lives. So to put it another way, if you want to be followers of Jesus, there's no room for excuses, there's no room for compromise, and there's no room for half-heartedness. "Hey Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go." Count the cost. Jesus says, "Come follow me. Let me first go and just talk about my family. It'll be years to come." No one said, Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead." What he means is, don't let all your family ties and responsibilities be an excuse for putting off following me. "I'll follow Jesus, but first let me go back." Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." To be a real disciple means acting now. We can't put it off until a better time. There isn't a better time. Don't wait for a better time. There's no better time to serve Jesus. Now is the best time. now is the best time, and he's calling us now. Are you prepared?